Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You're listening to Petty Little Things with your hosts, Victoria Secret and Davina Devine.
Hey, Petty Bitches.
Welcome to Petty Little Things. This is the Petty, Petty, Petty Davina Devine.
Oh, she's fresh.
Oh, she's so fresh. So fresh, she's famous.
And this is Victoria Secret. Now, are you going to do this in Spanish?
Español.
Español.
Petty Little Things, Español.
Oh.
Yes, sí, sí, señora.
What? Do you know how to say anything in Spanish? Dirty?
I know how to say Savita. Or no, I know how to say Salida Devine. Exit Divine. That's me. Go on. I'm making an exit. She's making an exit. My name lends to so many things. Uh-huh. It's so good.
Do you know what? Actually, sorry. I was writing some... Sometimes I will like write down some weird lyrics and okay. You just mentioned your name.
Did I?
And a lyric that I wrote down was... Okay, let me see. Okay. Blonde leggy with cracking tits, but spell Davina with an I and I'll give you the shits. Do you like that?
I do like it. Yeah, that's true.
Do you want to know what else I wrote for you?
Look what.
Okay. Big, little, small, or large. Your daddy knows this queen's in charge.
Oh my God, I love it.
And then ones that I never came back to were rhyming Jess Glynn with the bin. So I will come back to that.
Yeah,
like, I knew where I was going, but I was like, just chuckling away.
You're starting your rap career, right?
Yeah, chuckling away. And I also wanted to rhyme Juicy Lips with Just the Tips.
Oh, Just the Tips.
But I do like blonde leggy with cracking tits. But spell Davina with an I and I'll give you the shits.
It's true. Oh my God. That's so true. That's a big rotter of mine.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's a big
rotter. It really is. But I just like the idea of you trying to give someone the shits.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I've given many the shits.
Can I be vulnerable here?
Yeah.
I have a sore back and I have some Diphene and they're not really agreeing with me, girl. Yeah, speak knobs. Do you know what I mean?
Oh.
I don't think
you've got a tender bowel, so as is, haven't you?
No, I'm pretty good. Like, I don't have like IBS or something like that. I don't, that's a fell rumor that you tried
IBS
to start
Joe
to
Ransom.
Me. Oh, that was a person. But yeah, Jesus, Diphene.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a size zero for pride at this rate.
I remember I hurt myself one time and I had like a lot of inflammation. I got Diphene over there. They're fucking great.
Oh yeah, no, they are good. They do the good. The first night I felt a bit stoned after them.
I think they can make you a bit sick. They can look quite harsh on the stomach.
Oh God.
Well, I'm straight, but I'm back from the continent for the first time. Yeah.
How was the weather?
It was actually fine. It was kind of like Irish summer. Mm-hmm. It was nice. A little overcast, a couple of days.
To the beach?
Yeah, I went out to the beach. There was a lot of, had a lot of time to myself because a lot of the girls were like sleeping.
Oh, okay.
She's sleeping now.
Dead. Like you were day creeping while they were day sleeping.
I didn't go too wild in the aisles. Like I feel like I was really tired from work I was doing here. So when I got there, I was exhausted.
Yeah.
So it kind of felt like I was kind of playing catch up. So I was had a couple of early mornings and a couple of like bit of time to myself.
Any sexy fellas on the beach? Any like...
No, it was very, very off season. Mm. So kind of quiet around this time of year. But it was nice. Like, you know, we had really good... Like, do you know what the thing about it is? You can send a bunch of queens anywhere and we'll always have a laugh.
Yeah.
Regardless. Like you kind of... And to be honest, like... You know, we've been in group holidays before. You always end up kind of just sticking in your group and just having the crack.
Totally.
It's always like.
I think of beaches in Spain, I just immediately think of Pixie Woo's clothes getting stolen.
Oh my God.
When she went for a skinny dip.
That's too fucking funny.
I'll never forget opening up the hotel room door and seeing Starker's Woo. There you go.
Oh God, that's actually hilarious. There's always a good cruisy story, but there was unfortunately on this trip there was none of that.
Okay,
so there was no. Yeah.
Is there gays in Tourmalinas?
Yeah, it's very gay.
Is it?
Very gay heavy. Yeah,
oh.
A lot of gay bars, but I feel like we didn't get the full kind of vavoosh of it all because it was off season.
Yeah, okay.
So it wasn't that quite. It was Paddy's Day, Paddy's weekend, which I have to say was so delighted to miss Paddy's Day.
Paddy's Day is disgusting.
It's disgusting. Yeah. It's like, I just hate, like it's, I was thrilled. I would have went actually to the, like, you know, Hobbs of Hell to get
out. Would you have gone to Australia?
I actually would have, flown just for the day. I actually would have flown there just to go, oh, I'm going to be on border control and fly back.
Yeah.
That's what I would have went for.
When it was actual Paddy's Day, because obviously the show was on the George, so I was getting ready. And then I went into the front room and obviously there's an office across from my office. It's totally empty.
Yeah.
And I was like, this would have been the best Paddy's Day fucking party ever.
Yeah.
And like the view of Dame Street is just incredible.
Yeah.
So next year, I don't know, does it fall on a Monday?
It falls on a Monday. Yeah, it should be.
That would be fucking fab.
Yeah.
Let's hope no one moves in before then.
Listen, I might be asked off to Dubai or something to do a pride
gig. That's so weird that you say Dubai because I just Googled, can you do drag in Dubai this morning?
And can you?
Technically, no.
Okay.
Yeah, technically you're not allowed to do drag in Dubai.
How would they know?
And then,
I wouldn't take the chance, to be honest. I just, you know how I feel about Dubai?
Yeah.
You know how I feel. Bye-bye, Dubai.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't.
You don't want to get pooped on.
No, it's not even that. I don't want to end up in prison for the rest of my life. And it's like, I feel like Dubai is just so false. Everything about it is a facade. But anyway, that's another episode. But I just do want to say a big shout out to Andrew and to David who run Padam in Tourmalinas. They brought me over.
Padam.
And they've actually done an amazing job. The bar is beautiful. So if you're over in Tourmalinas, do check it out.
Yeah,
it's
some of your clips looked really,
really
nice.
It's really, pretty. They've done a great job on it. The staff are amazing and gorgeous.
Was it the Irish welcome?
It wasn't really the Irish welcome. It was a very Espanol welcome, but it was lovely. We had a really good time, and the drinks are top notch.
Ooh.
Yeah, like we went to a lot of bars.
I think I saw Cosmo in your story.
The cocktails are fab. So yeah, if you're in Tourmalinas on your plan, your little trip, go to check out Padam because it is fab.
Okay, what's your rose and thorn at Tourmalinas?
My rose was probably doing the little gig in Padam because we actually had a laugh.
Okay.
And I'll tell you this. So there's a story. Okay. So it was very relaxed, very relaxed. And I was just like, I was kind of DJing and just kind of having a bit of crack with the people and walking around. And I was going around. At one point I kind of went, you know, because it was off season, it was kind of quiet. So I went to every table and I was like chatting away. And there was this woman and man sitting at a table on their own. And I said, full disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
This woman looked very lived in.
Okay.
Yeah.
She'd been around the world.
And I'd say she was probably in her late 50s.
Yeah.
But like she looked like hitting 70. Like she looked like she'd been in the sun for a while. And her friend, God help him, like he was pretty lived in as well. Like a previous lady owner, very like, you know, very rough and ready. He had an eyebrow ring, I'd say, from like the early 90s.
Yeah.
And he was lived in. But they were lovely. David says they're never going to hear this, so I can go there.
They were sexy, by the way, eyebrow rings at one point. Like
they were.
Jay from Five, I thought was a wetter.
Yes.
He had one.
But so I went and I was like, hi guys, I'm going to take requests and da da da. And it was one of the other guys at another table had told me that this lady had basically owned half a Tourmalinas at one point. She was very well to do and that she had kind of fallen on hard times and kind of, you know, So she probably hit the bottle, I think, a bit.
Okay.
And she'd kind of lost a fortune or whatever.
Oh, wow. That's
but she
sad.
Was there, but she, sad, but she was there having a great time. She was, and I was really nice. Mm-hmm. So I know if I seem very harsh, but she was really nice. I went over to her and I was like, so any requests? I was taking requests. And she said, she was Dutch. And she said, Billy Gillis, Loving You. You know that song?
Oh,
so
yeah.
I was like, oh, I was like, I didn't kind of understand what she said. So I said, oh, I'll see if I have it.
I had that's a very random song.
Very random song. So I didn't kind of understand what she meant. So
she's
just
a TikToker.
So I just walked away and I was like, okay. So then I took requests from other tables. There's a few couple of songs, Espanol, went around, I met everybody in the bar. And then I went back and then her friend came. I hadn't played the song.
Yeah.
So her friend came up to me and was like, Billy Gillis, Loving You.
Okay.
I was like, oh. And then I said to the girls, I was like, Billy Gillis, Loving You. I was like, and then it was called DNA.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay. Because I said, like, they couldn't possibly be like asking for that like dance song. Like,
I know.
I was thinking, I know this is so shady, but I was thinking it could be something like, you know, like Dizzy Gillespie from like 1920s. I thought she was looking for like an old song.
Or that
Loving You. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So I said, I can't play with that in Biscuits where like it's pop songs. And then next thing, Loving You is in my DNA. Right? That comes on. Well, she jumps up out of her seat.
Yeah.
Flies into the bar. She does that little shuffle, right? She's singing top of her voice, Loving You is in my DNA, right? And then the friend comes in doing the shuffle, so she shuffles backwards and he shuffles towards her, then she shuffles towards him and he shuffles backwards like a train back and forth.
Oh.
Well, everybody in the bar just starts staring at these two dancing, and I just looked at the girls and they just make eye contact with me and we just all took like a sip of our drink. Just like, but she was having the time of her life. So ever since that then, the song of the holiday became Loving You is in my DNA.
That'd be my roast, to be honest.
So yeah, no, so that was okay, the roast. So that was like, so that Loving You DNA became the rose of the holiday.
Love it. I feel like your thorn is food related. Come on.
No, there was no actually bad food. There was, do you know, the thorn was probably just that it was a bit quiet, I suppose. There was like,
you wanted sexy daddies on beaches and tight little shorts.
Yeah, actually we went to a club and people were very friendly.
Oh,
actually, no. Do you know what my thorn is?
Go on.
Know what my thorn is?
Yeah.
What's the fucking story with toilets in foreign countries not having locks on them? Why is there no locks?
Yeah.
Like, oh, and she's going to kill me for saying this, but I'm going to have to tell this story. I'm sorry, Mizza.
Oh, I love this. I'm ready.
So this is during the day. This
yes.
is like, so we went out for lunch and we went to this really nice restaurant down by the sea. And Miz is like, well, I have to go to the bathroom. So she's like, she scullies off and she's in the bathroom and she's like, oh my God. She's like, as soon as her arse was out, she had to like empty her belt.
Okay.
And then she's like, oh my God, there's no toilet roll. She's like, she's like, oh my God. So she opens the door of the cubicle and she's like looking, and because there's no lock on the door, so she's holding the door closed while this is going on. She's gonna kill me for saying this. And then she shimmies out and there's like toilet paper like in, so she just grabs the toilet roll. She's like, and then she said there was a woman in the cubicle beside her, she could just see her little feet dangling under the door. So yeah, so it happened to us all. We were all literally caught short, like just with no toilet roll, locks on doors, like just like on every place. It's just so bizarre.
Well, at least she didn't have her pads around her ankles, because that's even worse.
That's true. At least she had Brown Thomas bag to go in.
Come here, funny little story. I was at the Mother Paddy's Day thing and I saw this girl in the crowd and I was like, oh my God, I know her.
Oh,
and
no.
It's a girl that I grew up with, one of her best friends.
Yeah.
And then I looked at the girl beside her and I was like, oh, I know her too. And the girls that I'm thinking of, they're so funny. They're so much fun to be around.
Yeah.
So I went over.
Right.
I threw my arms around her.
Oh, no.
I went, Kate, it's so great to see you. How are you? I haven't seen you in ages. And then I couldn't remember the fucking girl, the other girl's name. But I was about to do the same to her.
Yeah.
She goes, sorry, I think you're thinking of someone else.
Oh my God.
I threw my arms around her. And then I was thinking, does she think I was taking the piss out of her? Or
oh my gosh.
But I was just being.
Well, no, if you said Kate, she wouldn't have thought that. She definitely was like Miss Kate and Identity.
Oh my God. Miss Kate. Well, speaking of Miss Kate and Identity.
I know.
That everyone's talking about it. Princess Kate. It wasn't that Kate, by the way. I imagine I saw
Do you know, actually, Kate. Sorry, just while we're saying on the subject of this, what always happens to me, I'm a main like offender of this, is walking down the street and I'm like, oh my God, hi.
Yes.
And wave and the person looks at me like, who the fuck is that? Like, I'm always like, I think it's someone that it is, or I'll do a big smile.
Yeah.
And then I always walk past and I do this face.
Oh. So uncomfortable, isn't it?
So uncomfortable. I always do it.
Do you remember people's names?
No.
I remember faces more than names.
And you know, I have to say, I think it's pretty rude not to remember names, but I genuinely just, I think my memory bank is full.
Mine
I just
too.
Can't, I oh, like I, and to be honest, sometimes I don't even remember face.
I remember most faces. There is the odd time and I'm like, fuck, who are you? Who are you? And like, can we, I was listening to another podcast and they were saying, whatever you do, don't say to someone, you don't remember me.
Yeah.
Just don't do it. It's just awkward for both of you. Like, you know, maybe go, oh, wasn't it great that time that we were like, to trigger them a bit? Like the memory. Cause like, you know, like, I think drag queens just meet so many people, don't we?
Yeah, we do. No, we do. And and sometimes I think as well, like I put down, I think a little bit to social anxiety as well. Sometimes I feel like if you're meeting a gang of people and you're like, hi, I'm Davina. Hi. I'm so kind of trying to process the situation of like, there's so many people here. It's a bit of an overload.
Yeah.
I'm not really taking in information.
Totally.
So I'm just kind of trying to, you know.
Even if I've met you before and I'm meeting them, I always go, hi, I'm Victoria.
I always try and get something, if there was an incident or if something I can remember them by or something happened, then I'll remember them then.
Yeah.
But if it's just a kind of like a casual passing, it's like, I think it just makes me kind of uneasy sometimes. So I don't really remember. And it's not our badness. It's just how it is.
Yeah, no, totally.
But anyway, Kate.
Tell me what you think about Kate.
To be honest, I don't really think anything about it. I don't really care.
Yeah.
I think it's very strange that they haven't said anything.
So strange. Which makes me think, is the reality even worse than the rumors? Do you know what I mean?
I just want to know.
And where are the kids?
Who cares about the kids? I never want to know where the kids are.
Just no one's been seen except for William. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's the only one. He was in Sheffield the other day.
And it just goes to show also how you can disappear if you want to. Like, how you can just actually not be seen. Mm-hmm. So all these celebs go, my privacy. You can clearly have it if you want.
Yeah, totally.
And she's top notch. She's like, she's a royal. So if she can have it, you know, Z-list Love Islanders can definitely have it. They don't need, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You fucking hate Love Island.
I hate Love Island. And you know what? I was like, that fucking Ekansu as well.
Yeah. Well,
she's a fucking plank, isn't she?
Oh my God. I have to say, I didn't watch her season of Love Island. I've seen a couple of seasons, but it seemed that everyone loved her. Like, she was the darling of kind of the franchise.
None of them are darlings. Anyone that goes on that show is not a fucking darling.
Yeah.
She's nothing darling about her, I tell you. And they're all those insecure, dopes, basically. And
they're self-producing.
Oh my God. And then I kind of thought when she went into Big Brother, I thought, God, you know, she's actually seems kind of all right.
But I thought then, so too, yeah.
But then it started to, she said, all the girls hate me. They're all jealous of me. I much prefer being around boys. Yeah, that's because you're actually just a man stealing bitch.
Well, it's the energy that she's putting out more so. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's maybe what other girls are reading off her. And
but it's that, it's the me pretending not to be the me.
Yeah. She was only interested in having conversations with the most famous people in the house.
Of course, because she's trying to like pick herself up. But there's not much to her.
No.
Like,
there
whatever.
Really wasn't.
No.
And like, you probably were away, but like, she was on Late and Live and I struggled to get through that anyway. It's fucking boring.
Someone said it was car crash.
Oh, it's like, but she basically started to blame the edit. She had just come out of the house. How does she know what she'd been edited? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
But they always do that. It's like trying to keep longevity. But you know, the thing that rocks me about those people is there's lots of people out there like watching TikToks and following these people that are vapid and just like that. To me, I'm like, I'm hating that that's the culture that's coming, the generation that's coming ahead. It's like they're icons, you know, and they're just these vapid fucking.
She couldn't believe it though. Like she was so like she, on Traders US and all.
Yeah.
I'd say she shook when she heard those boos.
You know, actually we were in Tourmalinas. We were walking down by the beach one day and from a distance we saw this like Adonis like in the distance, and he was like this really like, I'd say about like 6'6", like huge. So it instantly stood out, just in shorts, really tanned, just saw from behind, and was with this blonde girl.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my God, look at this. Like literally like a wall of flesh, just yeah. like a head. And the girls were like, oh my God, he's always on TikTok.
Okay.
He's like this big OnlyFans mm-hmm. guy. So I was like, oh, I'm surprised I don't know. I was like, so we got up close and I was like checking them all out, and he's with this like hunjula, uh-huh. like absolute hun. Like yeah. if you picture hun in like in your head, this is her.
Okay.
Like the black lashes, the, you know, the lips that were taped up after they got done, like, you know, hilarious. And just bikini. And she was from Dublin.
Okay.
And he was, I think, English. And the two of them were walking along, but it was just very interesting to see those people in the wild, oh, in the
yeah,
kind of way.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, and she kept going, "Yup, Dublin, yup, Dublin."
Oh, because it was Paddy's.
Well, I think she saw us as well. She knew that we were Irish, and she okay. kept going. I think she was trying to get a bit of attention from us.
Uh-huh.
And we went into, my friends went into a shop to buy like just a drink. It was just during the day, like. And they went in and they were in the shop, and they were like basically trying to get attention in the shop.
Do you oh, mean?
Like, so it was just full blown. It just. Oh, everything they did was for attention. It was kind of a bit cringe, to be honest.
Yeah,
whatever sexiness you would kind of see
gone.
Was gone.
I don't think most of those people aren't sexy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'd say the reality of being around those people mostly is quite fucking boring.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Where is the crack?
It's a strange one, isn't it, though? Because I feel like it's like they kind of base their whole existence on getting attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very, it's quite toxic.
Mm-hmm.
If it's
mm-hmm.
like,
I'm sure it's addictive at the same
that's
time.
That's what I mean, yeah. though. It's like because that runs out.
Mm-hmm.
Like people kind of do get bored of you, and people. So what happens then if you've got no fucking voice or anything to say
or something to back it up with? Like.
Yeah, I find it interesting psychologically. I find it very fascinating.
Well, to summarize Big Brother, just to come back to it for a sec, I'm Team Louis. I never thought I'd say that a week ago.
Yeah.
He is so straight talking. He doesn't give a fuck. He's not bothered about those boos. And that makes me go, well, at least you're probably actually being a bit real. Do you know what I mean?
I think so too. I think him being real is actually just a bit kind of out there.
Yeah.
I think he's just a bit kind of nuts. And
he's
like,
just done.
Yeah.
Like,
he's also of an age where he's probably just like, fuck it.
Yeah.
I don't care.
He is constantly spilling goss.
That's been great.
Oh, it's made the season. If he wasn't there, I was dubious about the lineup in general. And then
it was a good season.
It was a really good season.
Really good.
Now I'm dying to get Jedward in a dressing room at Pride and be like, right, tell us the tea.
I know, I'm dying. I'm actually dying now. It made me really kind of a little bit nostalgic for all that era of pop music.
Uh-huh.
I really like, you know, like the noughties Ronan, and like, you know, there was a real moment of Irish music that he was really part of.
Yeah, 100%.
Samantha Mumba, the Westlifes, like all that era of music. I loved all that. So like, it was such an innocent kind of time, and we didn't know everything about everyone. And I liked that. I liked reading magazines. I liked getting little tidbits of information. I hate now that we know everything about everything on the second.
Yeah. It's almost too fast.
It's too fast.
And I used to live for those magazines when they came out. Like you'd be fingering your way through it going, oh my God.
How many fingers are we talking?
Oh God. I was
Sticky Vicky.
I was a whore for Heat magazine. Like literally.
Whore for a finger of the heat.
I hope he fucking wins anyway. But Sharon Osbourne was apparently getting £7,000 per minute.
Wow.
That she was in there.
That is the
per
that's
minute.
Jury. That's the goals, isn't
it? Oh, that's like.
So we had, I loved a bit of Sharon as well. I quite like Sharon Osbourne.
Me too. I even enjoyed Fern. I feel like she's starting to rock people. But.
Well, do you know what? What's the story with Fern? And like, she hasn't really kind of given any juice.
Yeah.
And she's very soft spoken.
Mm.
Hi, I'm Fern Britton. Very soft spoken. She's another one that like that would very that's very disarming.
Yeah,
because somebody is very soft spoken. You think they're very genteel, but then
she's not.
I can tell she's not.
She's definitely producing herself. She's been on TV too long. Yeah, like, the cameras. She's comfortable.
I mean. So
there.
Tell us some juice. Tell us a little bit. I want some grit.
She has it as well.
Yeah,
there's no way you're on like a program like this morning.
She's
all
been
them
very
years.
Reserved.
Very.
Yeah.
Very.
But I enjoyed her all the same.
Here, I have a gripe, and I kind of mentioned this to you before.
Okay.
This is a call out, a begging, if you will. If you see someone with a large suitcase, please stop asking them. Any questions related to it, like you know, when I'm getting into a taxi, when I'm on train, when I'm just going through the street, it just seems to be a topic of pointless conversation.
Yeah,
and it's
people
like,
just want to interact. I think.
Oh, dead body in there, is it? Oh, off somewhere nice, are you? And I'm like, No, I'm literally the only dead body in there is Victoria. Do you know what I mean?
Who's gonna RIP?
Who's gonna hop out now in a second with her pads?
Like something from Thriller.
Why is it such a talking point when you see someone with a suitcase?
There's nothing worse as well than walking through town with a suitcase. Mm. It's really I hate it. Yeah. And the one thing I cannot pack light.
No. Impossible.
I cannot pack. Like I packed as light as I could for Spain, and that was not light. Like my case.
Were you overweight?
No, I wasn't. No, okay. I packed basic as much as I could, but it's still everything weighs a fucking ton.
Yeah,
like it's really tough.
Drag especially.
Drag is heavy.
Just bring a fucking mirror.
Like. You're literally people don't realize you're literally packing for two people.
Yeah.
And you're packing like full outfits for two people. And then you're kind of bringing options because you're like, well, if that breaks or you need this. Mm-hmm. So, and drag costumes, more importantly, are not really, they're not light.
No, totally. Like I remember going away for those 2 week tours and like I'd be bringing two full suitcases just for drag. And then I'd have a small carry on suitcase for me.
Yeah.
And if you got those clothes, if you spill.
So you'd have to just pay the excess, just bring the bags.
No, they'd pay for two suitcases for me to bring them.
Yeah.
And then the carry-on was free. And to be honest, Airlines are pretty good when you're a little bit over it. If you're checking in at a desk, the machines, they're not your friend. I never went to them. I always went to the nice lady on the desk, smiled at her, you know, going,
Big shout out to the crew on Airlines. Oh, they looked after us. Totally. Very, very nice.
They're the best. Oh, yes.
And, looked after.
But yeah, so like you'd be trying not to get ketchup or like I'm a messy bitch. Yeah. Do you spill?
No, not really.
Like if I'm going to have, like say, a
I don't like to miss
instance,
a drop.
Oh, fair. If I'm having a burger and there's ketchup and mayo on it, no doubt a little bit of it's going to end up my top. And I remember like that happened so many times and they're the clothes you have for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know. Gosh. But you listen. Merci, Jessie's.
Okay, before we move on to our special guest, two little things. Leo Varka has just stepped down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
Yeah. I'm curious to know.
To be honest, do you know what I think as well? I kind of thought this over the last while is, I don't know if you noticed this, he's starting to look very tired.
Oh, yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I always look at that in, you can see that in politicians. Like I remember when Micheál Martin was, they look tired. And you know that when you wake up in the morning and it's like 12 o'clock, but they still look tired.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that is a poison chalice, that job.
Yeah.
No matter who gets that, then nobody is going to be happy with any leader of the country.
Yeah.
They're just not like, no matter, because you're never going to please everyone. So totally. I just think it's a poison chalice, but I'm dying to know more information about why he's stepping down. And maybe it's politically, I think we're in a very strange place as well, because I know that the polls were in the favour of Sinn Féin and all this kind of stuff coming in the next government. And
maybe it's connected to that.
Maybe, because I feel like it's a real political move.
Mm.
And maybe, like, I don't know about you, but it feels like this since COVID and with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael that they've been in. Sorry, I know this is tough. We know we're talking about politics, but they've been in government, I feel like, forever.
Yeah.
And it's very curious to see what's going to happen next or what the next political move is for everybody across the board. I'm curious.
Well, I would have probably done the same. I would have done it after the trip to USA as well.
I had the feeling that it's literally just after Paddy's Day, because it's like, and then he's free for Pride.
That's what Stephen Dowling tweeted.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh,
Leo
God.
Wants the day off for Pride.
That's exactly me and Stephen always have very similar thought processes.
Okay. We have a very special guest coming up. We have the lovely Joanne McNally.
Yes, the Queen of Comedy.
The Queen of Comedy. We actually recorded that already and she had us howling.
Yeah, she's, I love Joanne.
A fucking funny bitch. So I hope you all enjoy that. If you want some more, we'll have a brand new Patreon episode coming out on next Monday. And some things that we'll be talking about over there are myself and Devine tried to book a housewife. Now, I want to talk about that. It's not going to happen, but we did try and book one. And what I didn't talk to you about was the rider that I was sent for that housewife.
Oh, let's get into it.
It kind of made me chuckle a bit. So we'll be talking about that over there. Plus, I've had a bit of a mad last 2 weeks.
Did you?
A&E, the whole lot. So I'll tell you a bit more about that over there. In the meantime, though, we want to shout out some people who are our patrons. If you don't know what Patreon is, it's where you can get some extra content from Petty Little Things podcast. And you go to patreon.com/ Petty Little Things pod. Let's shout out Jenny girl.
Hey, Jenny girl. Hey, girl. Hey. Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey, Jenny girl.
Welcome to the Patreon. Do you know, I was just saying to the girls when we were on a holiday, what I love about the Patreon is that people that sign up, like you can see sometimes if people fall off, the patrons that sign up actually stay.
Yeah.
And they, I feel like it's becomes like a little kind of exclusive club over there.
I feel that too.
Yeah. I like that because it's like, you know, people on OnlyFans, whatever, would sign up, see the pics and then unfollow. They could easily just squeeze the juice, but it's like, we bring the juice, so.
And then also, my friend Aidan O'Brien, finally the nose got the better of him.
Oh my God, the scabby bitch. After all this time, what a mean Aideen. Oh my God, mean Aideen. Just out that purse, girl.
Mean Aideen.
Mean Aideen O'Brien.
Has finally joined us.
Mean Aideen O'Brien.
Yeah, and yeah.
I took a credit union loan. Did she get this?
He was like, I'm trying to piece together now everything, and he was like, he's all over the episodes very quickly.
Well,
so.
That nosy bitch will find her way, don't worry.
Anyway, we're back after this little moment with Joanne McNally.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, guys, we are joined by the one and only queen, the undisputed queen of Irish comedy, and I'm happy to call a friend of mine. Thank God it's good. One, but an enemy of her. It's gorgeous. Joanne McNally is here. Oh, Joanne, thanks for finally agreeing to come on the podcast. We've had this in the workings for many, many months now.
I know. I wanted to be there, like physically
I thought you were going to be here. And then I, of course, realized that now you live in London.
Oh, yeah. You're a turncoat. You've gone to the UK.
I've taken the soup.
Brexit means
the Mac is the Mac is gone. Is that what they used to do to people? They used to take the Mac out of their name if they went to England.
Oh, really? So you're just Joanne Nally?
Yeah, I'm just Joanne Nally. The Mac is. Really? Yeah, or the O or whatever, the kind of the Irishized version of the name, they take it off you.
Wow. I've heard a lot of war stories over the last few months of y'all having all the fun on the therapist shows. I have been on a different experience with Spencer and Vogue, so I'm definitely excited to see the other half of these stories now.
How have the shows been going?
Really good, but I enjoyed them. I think she really misses you. I'm just going to put it out there.
Well, it's funny because I I think Spencer's amazing, but I wouldn't want to travel with my husband. No, I don't have one, so that's handy, but I certainly wouldn't want to travel with them if I did have one.
I don't mind traveling with other people's husbands. That'd be okay.
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
So you're actually just moving to London. You're relocated officially. So how's it going? How's the big move going?
It's going really well. I've never lived on my own before.
Really?
And I'm 40. Yeah, I've never lived on my own. I couldn't afford it really. When I first moved to London, I didn't want to live on my own. I'm too needy. I was like, I'd hate that. Mm. Because you're on your own all the time with comedy, and you want, do you know when you wake up, you want someone just in the background, even like a shower on or a radio or something. And I couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
So I house shared, but I was like the oldest person in the house share. It was getting weird, you know?
Yeah.
I was up in the very top room and I could just tell them, I was up in the attic. I was in the attic. My mum said I moved out to England, the attic there, but I could tell they wanted their friends in. And I was never there. I was like, I'm like some fucking Mrs. Havisham up the roof. I need to go. So I'm like, do you know your man in Home Alone, the kid, Kevin McAllister, who wakes up and every morning he's like, I can do anything I want. That's absolutely what I'm like. And yeah. It's not great.
We were just talking.
I need to grow the fuck up.
Like, you know, you were such a grad gal about town in Dublin for so long. We were talking because like everyone obviously knows you're like fabulous comedian and all that, but like the days before you were kind of famous and not working on the circuit, like what was your social life like in Dublin? Like where were your haunts back in the day? Where would you go? Like,
I was always on St. William Street.
Right, okay.
Which they were threatening to pedestrianize. I used to go to St. William Street. We used to go over, like back in the day when I was like a teenager, we used to go to the kitchen, which was Bono's club.
Yeah, I remember being in there.
And they used to give you a curry.
Yeah.
Because they had, for to get the late license, they had to feed you.
Yeah.
We were like, I think we were like 15, 16 going in there.
I remember there was a drag queen called Annie Balls. She used to work at the George and she used to do Annie's Chili Con Carne. And that was like,
so funny.
And she'd literally be nearly standing over, like very like this Patty and Selma vibe, standing over a pot of curry. Like,
could you imagine gays in a gay bar actually eating though? Like, did they eat it? I don't remember.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't know.
I don't know if I'd eat Annie's curry.
I know, it's a weird one, but it was something to do with the license, wasn't it?
Yeah, you had to have food on the premises to get like the late license.
To keep going. Yeah. And so, I was big into the Red Box. Oh, I used to go to the Red Box a lot. Yeah. The pod.
Would you been a bit of a raver or would you a bit more a kind of like a pub gal?
I was a bit of a raver and then I went into a pub gal, but I was definitely a raver. Like we used to think Lily's was very beneath us. You know what I mean?
It wasn't that era of
fucking losers.
I used to work at Mac and it was like the Lily's girls would go and then there was like the kind of hipster girls that we'd like, and you'd always have better crack with the hipster girls.
Ah, yeah. And what was the other place that all the I say Southside girls, I am one, but there was, what's it called? Not Lily's, not Annie, Lily Bordellas, the other one.
Reynard's, was it?
Reynard's.
Yeah, very. Like, that was a bit. It was like an older clientele, wasn't it?
Yes. we looked down on all that. So I would have rather go to Bojangles at the time. Do you remember Bojangles was for the older crowd as well?
And now there's Rain Nightclub in Portobello for the over 30s.
That's closed. It's gone. Every nightclub in Dublin is closed. Like, they're all gone.
Yeah. I know. It's just they're all gone. I think that is a mix of. Obviously, I don't know who's doing the planning for Dublin, but they're fucking it high up. Because it's, But also, the younger people, yeah. I don't know if they really, I don't really even know if they club as much, really. No,
I don't think so. And it's like, definitely the way people socialize is just completely different to how we used to. Like, we used to go out at like, you know, 6 or 7 and stay out till 6 or 7. Yeah. All night. But now it's like, people are going out much later. Or then I think it's so expensive. So people even aren't getting taxis. Like,
it is very expensive.
A little bit. Like, what kind of jobs were you doing before you were in comedy? What were you? Because I'd say you have some fucking stories.
Well, I was a publicist.
Were you?
Yeah. So I wanted to be a journalist. Okay. And then I just didn't have the balls really to do it because it was very like, it was a mysterious job. It wasn't a guaranteed job. And you needed to be kind of, someone's like, you need to sell your granny for a story and all. I was like, I just don't have that hustle in me.
Yeah.
I have it now, but I didn't have it then.
Okay.
So I ended up doing PR. So I was working with in Think House, which is the youth agency in Dublin, which was the first youth agency actually. So I was but I was kind of doing the boring jobs. I was doing like Vaseline and fucking pizza. Not pizza.
There's my cleaning products.
That's okay. She's got a PR package coming to the house.
So I was in public relations.
Lovely.
I interned with MCD. First, so I was doing like Oxygen and stuff, and I was like, "That's it. Now I'll do music. That's cool."
Isn't that funny how you were doing that, and now you like they're basically selling your shows? Isn't that mad?
I know it is funny, isn't it?
It's wild.
Circle of life.
So, that was your cleaner, was it?
So the cleaning products, because obviously I'm not prepared for the cleaner, so I ordered the products.
Oh, we have the other half lived. Yeah,
she sent me a list of shit that she needs, like you know, microfiber
stuff.
And all. And I was like, I've got all that. Yeah, come on. But I have nothing, of course.
So did you order that?
The problem with London is Deliveroo. You don't have to leave. the fucking flat.
This is like,
I could have a bottle of wine here within 7 minutes, like a magician. It's stupid. That's why I never leave the place. I've become a complete hermit. Oh, I sit gosh. Here and get shit delivered. It's amazing.
I love that. I'm so coming to visit. That sounds like my kind of pad.
They honestly, there's a delivery, they've got lube on it and everything. You never have to leave.
There's a pattern here. I'm Vaseline, lube. I see where this story is going. Just because you're talking to the gays now, calm down.
Poppers, everything. Poppers here within 7 minutes. Fucking great. I messaged Vogue and I was like, you need to put Bear by Vogue on Deliveroo. And she's like, it's on it. Oh, like, yeah, you can get anything.
We need to
anyway, my microfiber, my microfiber cloths on the way up the stairs. But yeah, so then I did a master's in PR then because I was like, I'm going to really commit to this.
Where did you do this, by the way? What?
DIT.
Yeah, that's where I got rejected. So I went to the interview for that master's, but me and Gina went out the night before and got wasted. So I came in just stinking of booze, fucking looking meldy, probably still had mascara on and everything. And I was like, oh, you know, it was a big interview. No, they were not having a bar. Well,
that to me would say you'd be a great publicist. The whole thing of being a publicist is knowing people and it, like kind of trying to like get favorites and try and make people like you, really.
Yeah.
It was the job. But yeah, there was only one master's and it was hard to get into. There was this like interview. And then when you're in it, no offense, like I had a really good time, but you're like, you don't need a master's for you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't think of anything you need a master's for less. if I'm being honest. But you know, the way I was just kind of trying to delay the real world, really. So I was like another year of studying grad. But then when I went in there, I decided I was going to be a political lobbyist.
Oh, wow.
So then I ended up working for us at the Lisbon Treaty. Was
what? How did that
I mean,
happen?
Talk about clutching in the dark. You know, I just decided, I was like, I had never been taken seriously as a person, really. And then suddenly I was being taken seriously, or it brought out a serious side to me. And I don't know why. I went down. I was working in the European Union and everything.
Oh my God.
That's
wow.
So random.
I never knew that. Yeah. Actually, that's wild, Joanne.
Can you explain the Lisbon Treaty then? Because I don't think I knew what it was by the end of it.
But do you not remember we all voted no because we were pissed off? And they were like, that's not the right answer, lads. We need to vote again. Do you not remember?
I tell you, the cold country's coming from a place of no this week.
So. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of no's.
A lot of no's this week. Yeah, I heard a lot of no's.
Yeah. That's all right though. Listen, sure, it is what it is. And can you tell us, so then that's a big change then to go into comedy. Like, how did that come about? How, because you've kind
well,
of
Well, then
me,
of course.
But, go on.
So then obviously I was, realized, I was like, I'm not, what are you on about, John? Political communication. That was what I was going to go into. And then I sobered up from that and I was like, get out.
So tell us, how did you get into comedy? Tell, because I think people were kind of interested.
So then I was working as a publicist.
Yeah.
And then, as you know, Davina, I think fucking everyone knows now, I've told everyone really, I was very sick with bulimia and anorexia. So because I was just, I think honestly, unfulfilled is what I would say on reflection.
Yeah.
And thank God I didn't stay in politics. Can you imagine what I would have done to myself then?
God, yeah.
So then,
well.
So then I needed to go in and get treatment. So I had to leave my job. And then when I left my job, so I went back home to my mum's house and I'd been house sharing in town. Obviously, I had to give all that up. And while I was in the process of, I was an outpatient in a treatment center. So I was kind of just in every now and again, like part time. And then I was kind of just free the rest of the time to just fucking walk around with nothing to do and just be a bit mad, really, in my mind. And then Una, who you know, Davina,
I love her,
Una McKevitt, who directed our ghost shows. She is the older sister of one of my best friends, Anya. And Una was like kind of the scary older sister, but she had wanted to work in the arts and it just hadn't happened for her up to that point. She was in the civil service. And I think she was kind of slowly losing her mind as
I'd say so. Imagine Una in the civil service.
Imagine Una in the civil service.
Go down to Una's desk. Fuck. Take your life in your hands there.
And looking for compassion over some issue. She's very blunt, is our Una, but very caring, but she's very blunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. And you need a bit of that sometimes. You need a bit of straight talking.
Absolutely.
But anyway, Una suggested that I get into performance. She was putting on the show called Singlehood, which was going to be, it was a cast, I think it was seven of us. It was like half real people in inverted commas, i.e. people like myself who weren't actors or comics. And then the rest of them were going to be kind of actors and comedians. And that's how it started. I'd just been broken up with by this bald lad because sadly, as insane as I was, I had more boyfriends during that stint of time. Honest to God. I was saying stand up because I was bulimic, I had no gag reflex, but I stopped saying it back.
You're joking.
They were falling out of the rafters. So I don't know, it was my time to shine.
I was feeling bananas. That when you're in your most chaos time, it seems to be more fellas around.
Yeah, there really does.
It really does. Plus, I suppose I wasn't working. I had a lot of time to kill. I was very available. And I was obviously like a cheap date. Like they knew a couple of months in, then they'd know that there's something not right with her. But I was great getting it started.
Yes.
Uh-huh. But then anyway, but they would all end then about 2-3 months in. And I'd been going out with this guy who I called Pykel in the show Singlehood.
Right.
And he was without hair. I think it's the politically correct way of saying it.
Right.
Follically.
Challenged.
Yeah. he was bald as a coot. And then he broke up with me. And just before Singlehood started, and I was kind of, I think at the stage, because I was so mad, it was a relief. When men would break up with me, it was kind of a relief because you're like, I can just go back to just being mad now. I don't have to keep pretending I'm sane and that everything's fine. So I was relieved, but also I was a bit like, because I hadn't actually, in fairness, he's such a lovely guy, but I hadn't fancied him really.
Yeah.
And he had decided we'd give this a go. And I just kind of went along with it. Like I do sometimes. Sometimes you're like, well, he thinks it's a good idea. Maybe it is a good idea. And then I fell for him then.
Yeah.
So I fell in, he fell out.
Oh no.
And I was like, what?
Yeah, you're duped.
This wasn't even my idea. Yeah, I was duped. I was hoodwinked into this. And now I really like you. And so he's like, no, you're grand. There's something that I'm not into this at all.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was telling the story on stage and I was doing the hell. I'm sorry. Can I interrupt you there? This conversation sounds like you think you've got a full head of hair, blah, blah, blah. And then people were laughing at the story. And then there was a comic at the show. And between him and Una, they were like, we think you should give it a go. And because I had really nothing else to do.
Yeah.
I knew I had to do something different. I knew I was very sad and there was something deeply wrong in me. Mm. And that's why I was kind of decided I wanted to achieve something. And I decided being thin was what I could achieve. Like that was kind of the highest in society. Like that's there's a lot of kudos to that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then so comedy kind of gave me something else to focus.
Does comedy make you happy? Does it actually make you happy?
Oh yeah, I love it. I think it kind of, I've not been a wanker, but I think it kind of, I mean, I'm not going to say saved my life. That's a bit dramatic, but it certainly changed everything.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. It gave me something else to focus on or something else to, I basically kind of was living to be the thinnest person in the room. That was my entire purpose. That was why I woke up, why I went to bed. That was why my fucking days were such a shit show. But then I had something new.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about just while we're kind of on that, like, because in a way now everyone is focused on this Ozempic and this whole craze now. What do you think about all that?
I know.
Because it's kind of like, I remember that era you're talking about when skinny was the pinnacle of everything. And it's like,
now it's Sharon Osbourne and Kelly are tiny.
What do you think about
this? I know. But I think Sharon has even said herself that Sharon kind of said she's gone too far.
Yeah.
But Sharon, no more than myself, Sharon has history.
Yeah.
So I think she was bulimic. I don't know if she ever really, no, I shouldn't speak on Sharon's behalf. She's not a personal friend, but I know that she has kind of suggested that it's always been there in her life.
Yeah.
And I think people like us, like after Christmas, I was joking to my mom. I was like, I'd love a shot of the pen. And even me joking, because I had a show, the Borgosh show was coming up. Even me joking, she was like panicking. I was like, it's grand. Yeah. I'm not going to do it. But I think when you have that history, I don't know if it ever really leaves you. Like, I think there's always residual things there that you manage. Mm. So I know myself now, if I got on the pen, there'd be no getting me off that pen.
Yeah. Right.
I would be folded through the letterbox. I'd be so tiny coming off that pen.
Do you think that kind of like, because I was thinking about this, like, because it's so kind of easy accessible. Now they're saying that there's big shortages because everyone's going mad on it. Do you think that in time to come that there will be no kind of overweight people? Or do you, like, because it's kind of...
I don't know, because I guess some people are happy with where they are.
I like that some people aren't. Different. I like that people...
I know.
It gives people kind of character. And it's like with the Botox and the turkey teeth and all that. It's like everybody does start to kind of look the same. So it's like, I don't know. And my friend says, she's like, you lose your weight, you lose your looks. And it's kind of true sometimes. Like,
well, you know what they say now, when you get to art, what age are you, Philip?
I am going to be 40 in 6 weeks. I have a countdown in my head going on. So
we're in the same box.
We're all the same age. We're all in the same box. Yeah. But they say it gets to a stage you have to choose between your face and your ass. I remember because I always had a very round face, except when I was obviously deranged, but I always held weight in my face. And Una actually saying to me once, because it's kind of my bear bug because it kind of puffs up and you know, I'm always trying to like roll the fucking lard out of it with those roller things I keep in the freezer. I remember Una saying, she was like, when you're older, you'll be so grateful you've weight in your face because when your face gets quite gaunt, it does age you actually and people lose. That's why women are getting fitter, putting their face and stuff, because they want that kind of slightly fuller look.
So we don't really get to choose. Yes. Like, we are like ironing boards.
Just focus on the face.
Would you get a lift? Would you ever get a lift or anything like that?
We kind of have a rough plan in place. It's very rough.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, you more so. You're making logistics. I definitely would though. Like, definitely.
I've been trying to get around to Turkey for 2 solid years. Like, should we just go for get what? Something done? It doesn't matter. Let's just go get something done. Why not?
Yeah.
I'm 2 hair transplants.
Just a girl's trip and a BBL.
There you go.
What's a BBL between gals?
So, actually, you'll get a laugh out of this. We have a running joke that if we see a really hot, straight lad, we turn to each other and we go, I'd get tits for him.
Yeah.
So maybe we might get tits. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe one each.
Yeah.
And come here. So obviously now you've had massive success. You've been like, you know, they're kind of like, it's like a movement. So we've talked about this as well. I feel like you've trailblazed, I think, a new wave of comedy. What's next like for you? What's going to happen next? The next chapter.
Well, hopefully you'll get your chat show.
Oh yeah.
You'd want to see Davina on tour. Oh my god, like, you obviously know what she's like with the questions and stuff, and I love it because I small talk, I don't mind small talk, but I'm like, okay, let's go in.
Yeah.
What happened when your father left? What meds are you on?
Basically, watch out for tuning.
Yeah, what's your biggest fear? And Davina's the same. So if we're in a group, it's kind of, there's a bit of dead air or something, Davina will be stretched. She practically has a microphone in her hand. She's like, tell me what happened when your mother's died.
Though, so you can tell her anything and it won't come back. Like,
I'm good at that. And I think what's good as well, like, I remember we were at a certain party and someone was like, no, you don't have to answer. I was like, no, she does. She has to answer. She does. She does have to answer.
She does, course, actually, yeah.
Because you could tell everybody was like, what you going to say?
But you're such a good conversationist. So if there's ever like a lull in the conversation, to be like, and so will everyone should tell us now, if you weren't doing your job, what would you be doing?
Yeah.
I was like, there's a chat show.
It's dangerous
though,
because she makes you feel very relaxed. And then before you know, you've just spilt your whole story. If you ever want anything out of her, all you have to do is get her about 30,000 feet in the sky. Flying over somewhere with champagne, and then it just spills out of her.
These girls, you have a lot to answer for. You've got me hooked onto the champagne, I tell you.
Listen, I'm not passing the book here, but that's Vogue. When I was on tour on my own, the rider was like a fucking bottle of Pinot and a noggin of Glen's vodka. Like, I had none of these tastes. And then Vogue was like, no, we'll have a bottle of Verticlique and we'll have a bottle of Grey Goose. And I was like, you're absolutely right, Vogue. So now I'm the same. I'm like, champagne.
It's so funny.
Because I love wine, but the problem with wine is that, like, it's so sugary, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas Vogue, she was like, there's no sugar in champagne. It's like having a banana. Oh. So now I'm like, I'm just having a banana. Just having a banana. A banana for breakfast, a banana for lunch, having a banana. We're just having bananas.
On the last night of the tour, do you remember we went back to we were at the hotel, it was just me and Joanne, and there was a bottle of champagne. It was the last one, we opened it, and I went to get glasses, and Joanne says, this smells a bit like dog food. Do you remember that? And it was expensive.
It was an expensive champagne that had been a gift from someone.
Yeah.
to the cast, really. And it was...
It did smell like dog food.
I don't know. I was like, we're obviously, our palates are pretty still pretty cheap because that was an expensive bottle. Me and Davina were like, where's the Smirnoff Ice? This is shit.
But we still drank it, that being said.
We still drank it.
No, not yet. No. But every time we had, there was always, because the same thing, you guys said to me, they were like, do you want anything in the room? And I'm drag queen, always has a bottle of vodka in the bag.
Yes.
Always. Yeah, in of course. The carry-all, there's always a bottle of vodka. Mm-hmm. And they were like, do you want a bottle of champagne? I was like, oh, right, go on. And then, of course, by the end of it, yeah, I was like, there's no bottle of champagne in my fridge.
I know. You get very used to it, don't you? You get very, that's the she danger. You get so my, used to it.
Room she goes, I took the bottle of champagne out of your room, but she goes, you know I'm good for it.
She's like, I said. Yeah. Yeah, I did. Yeah. Because you were going on. Yeah. And I was like, I'll get you back.
Do you remember
that
so wild? Because I remember watching your stories and you were doing venues that I had done in the UK, like glee clubs and stuff like that. So to go from the smallest little box room, that's four or five drag queens, by the way, we're getting ready in some of those glee club rooms, which is a disaster of suitcases. To go from that to that in the space of about a year and a half, it must blow your mind. Was there a little moment where you're like, oh, fuck it, I kind of made it? Like,
was there a moment, did you know when I thought I kind of got a kick out of it, was when someone said they were at a show in Vicar Street and Christy Moore was in the room and someone was talking and he stopped and he's like, excuse me, we don't talk in this show. This isn't a Joanne McNally show. This is a Christy Moore. Moore show. And I was like, oh, Christy, that's so nice. Thank you.
You're on the radar.
I was like, come on, Christy's radar. But the truth of the matter is, like, if the podcast, it's just the podcast. Yeah. And like, luckily I had kind of done the groundwork for a stand-up before the podcast got big. So I was kind of ready to go, you know.
Yeah, I wasn't ready. The product was there. Like,
I had the show there and I had the stage time there and I was... What's worse, I think, would have been if the podcast got big before I was ready, because I would have ended up... Because you never know you're not ready.
Yeah. kind of a bit of a perfect storm. It all kind of happened at the right time.
The timing was really good. But I remember when I did I got a job on Republic Italy, and I was chatting to a comic at the time, and he was like, ring Bren runs Aiken, who runs Vicar Street. He's like, ring Bren and book a Vicar Street. And I was like, what? I've done like four gigs. And he's like, ring Bren, book a Vicar Street. And I was like, okay. So I rang Bren and he was so sweet. He's like, Joanne, no. He's like, I've no doubt you're coming for us at some stage, Joanne. I'm sure you will come, but I don't think you're ready yet. He's like, and to be honest, even if you could sell it, because the comedian I was talking to assumed I'd sell it off the back of Dinner Republic Italy. He's like, even if you could sell it, if you're not ready, it'll ruin you because people then will think, you know, that you'll have to go off and rebuild. Really good advice. Good advice. So
to Bren ringing us to say, is your Pride event definitely happening? Because if not, we're going to shove another Joanne McNally date on it.
Yeah, that's what they said.
I was like, we're definitely doing it. It's all booked. I'm just the filler now.
Yeah.
How many? So I have it as 70.
Wow. Okay.
Sorry, 70 Vickers, or how many Vickers or Proseccos?
In total. Like, how many did you
I actually don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
The biggest streak of in Vicar Street, didn't you, though? You did the biggest, like, run.
In a year. Yeah,
that's
I did,
unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, when you were, like, saying halfway through them, was there a moment where you thought, fuck, I have another 30 to do. How am I going to do this?
Yeah, there was, yeah. It was like, the start was so strong. You're like, what? Like, you know, you just can't believe that you're doing it and everything. And we started doing, like, a road was obviously opening for me. So we were doing half Vickers, like, you know, because of the capacity rules around COVID. So we were doing a matinee and an evening show. Like, there was no stopping us.
Wow.
Then I remember there was a stage where I had a couple of ghosted shows. You see, because no one expected it to happen that way, it was quite a reactive tour. It wasn't a strategic tour. Yeah. It was just like, oh, there's more coming in. Just put more on. So there was no break in it, really.
Mm.
And, there was a time where you were already on, but I ghosted Proseccos and a Prosecco in the Isle of Man.
Oh yes.
There was eight days straight. And I was like, this is getting stupid now. Okay. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was getting up, I was asleep all the time. And then I'd wake up maybe an hour and a half before I was due on. And I would just go in, and Garode was already on some nights. And I was practically in my pajamas, put on the jumpsuit to go. Like,
You're great for a power nap as well, though, aren't you? You love a power nap.
Great for a power nap. Yeah. I can fall asleep anywhere, anything now. Sitting up, standing down, up against a wall, 20 minutes, and then you're good to go.
I'm like that as well. I'm good.
Yeah, you are.
So come here, tell me this. What's next then? Because obviously the podcast is still going strong. Therapist Goes to Me, number one podcast, winning all the awards. Like, that's amazing as well.
It is amazing. We've been so lucky. I don't know how or why. I really don't. But we're not looking a gift horse in the mouth. We're just going to keep going. And that in itself is basically, it could be your full-time job, really. But obviously we're doing other bits and bobs. But I'm writing this book.
Yes.
I have a book
is it a memoir?
Can I just say, that sounds like an awful lot of work to write a book, really. Like, I'm already overwhelmed just thinking about someone writing a book. So.
Do you know what? I completely agree with you. So no more than the Prosecco tour, I'm not thinking about it being a book. I'm just thinking about, it's like being an AA. You're like one day at a time.
That's one day at a time.
Yeah.
Another thousand words. Like, I'll hang up here now and try and do another thousand words. And I'm working with Penguin, and they're so lovely and really encouraging. And like, you know, they're like, send us stuff, and then they give you lovely feedback. And so, but yeah, you're right. The idea of writing a whole human book is terrifying. But if you just do it, and then suddenly you're kind of building it up, and suddenly there's a document there. And you just kind of tip away at it.
And tell us, will you do an audiobook?
Yeah.
Yeah, fabulous. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because sometimes
I read it back and I'm like, am I able to say it? Because if you're not able to say it, I won't put it. As in, not like and for the ethics. I mean, pronunciation. If you can't say it, and then I've got this new Who Replaced Avril Lavigne podcast with BBC.
That's number one as well.
Now, I'm not trying to piss on myself, but with a new podcast, they always go to number one.
But we did say this on the phone. We did say this earlier.
Yeah, they always go to number one, and because it's just a surge of interest. Yeah. You know, it's where you level out is the real thing. But the BBC are obviously very impressed that it's gone to number one in Ireland.
Every podcast you seem to do goes to number one. So that's kind of iconic.
Where does it end up, though? Where does it end up? Who knows? So I like doing that kind of investigative, like very tongue in cheek investigative stuff is fun. So I hopefully might do more of that with them. And then me and Vogue have some ghost shows in America at the end of the year. And I'm going to do 2 weeks work in progress in Edinburgh and start writing up this new
show. Amazing. Have you been writing like on the go? Like, is your notes app just full of like random little things that you're going?
Yeah, it is. And it's so sad because you'll go back on it then. You'll be like, what is that? Mm-hmm. It'll just be like peanut strudel. Ha ha. And you're like, what? You know what I mean? You're like, oh, come on. So I'm trying to give it more context of stuff because half the stuff is absolutely, I don't know what I was trying to say or do at the time, but the notes app is a popping at the moment. But it's hard, like, you know, that's a lot of, it's a lot, like the pod is content and the book is content and the stand-up show is content, and you're kind of, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, she's the Dua Lipa of comedy.
A lot of content.
And tell you, and will you be coming back to Dublin at all? What's the story there? Are you just going to be focused in London lady?
I'm so, because I did so much travel the last couple of years.
You need to feel settled.
The last two, probably. I guess. Oh, this is why I won't leave the flat. I'm genuinely concerned how I'll ever get out in the road again, because I've taken the foot off the gas.
You need
to such
to,
an
though.
Extreme.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll ever get it back on again. But anyway, I think I'll do it differently this time. It won't be the same amount of shows this time, you know.
This is very random, but when we were sending you an invite to this Zoom, one of our like, we think it's fucking gas when people do this, when their Instagram handles are, you know, Davina Divine Drag or Sarah Louise Vocals, or, you know, like, it's always just what they do.
Comedy.
Yeah, of course. Look,
you know when you label yourself in your, like, in your handle, I just think it's actually gas. I love it. Like,
I know
something vocalist. You're like,
but it's, you're like, you just want people to really know. Yeah. This is my main concern now. Okay, this is who I am. I'm not playing. Yeah, you need to know. And also, I have Joanne McNally Comedy on my Insta. Joanne McNally Comedy is because I couldn't get Joanne McNally.
Yeah.
And then I had Joanne McNally Comedy as my Insta handle, but I had it removed, so it's just Joanne McNally name.
Oh, very good. You should try Joanne Nally now that you're
Joanne Nally. Yeah, I know, the Mac is gone and a Union Jack, just me holding a Union Jack.
We always ask, we always do this thing called Rotter of the Week, which I told you about before, where we always ask someone to give us a rotter. Like, is there anything that would like rot? And this can be anything. It can be someone in a supermarket, it can be something to do with your new flat, it can be something that just rots you. Like, it can be like, have a think about it. It can be something that an audience member does, it can be something that happens in an airport, just something that rots you.
Like, my number one rotter always is getting stuck behind the family in the security queue for the airport. Do you know what I mean? Where there's the buggies, the whole lot. That's my worst rotter ever and always sticks with me.
Oh, well, I mean, I could talk all day about airports. My thing is, and you know what? This is what I'm learning. No one ever sees themselves as the dick or the rotter.
Yes.
But you are. So like, I've been in airports, you know what I mean? You're so unaware. Sometimes you lack so much self-awareness. So like, I'd be in the airport and I am like a dog. Like, I am like a bull through that place because I travel so much. Yeah. I arrive 20 minutes before the plane.
Yeah.
And I just expect everyone else to fall into line with that ridiculous time. Right. So you know what I mean? So if anyone holds up that system, I'm like, and it's only my flight's boarding and I'm like, come on, guys, keep it moving. And then God love them, someone's pulling out like a 2 liter of water out of there. They're like, what? No, you can't. I'm like, when was the last time you flew? Like, what the fuck?
Get the fuck like,
this rail has been in for so long. But then I'll do the same thing because I'm in a rush and I'll arrive to the airport and they'll be pulling out 100 or 150 mil bottle of Mitchum deodorant out of my hand luggage. And I'm like, shit, I'm so embarrassed. Like, I thought I was kind of the best in practice of flying and I'm absolutely not.
Yeah.
Smoke, because I don't smoke anymore now. People smoking around me really pisses.
Well, I actually had that was one of my rotters before. Was somebody is, you know, when you're walking down the street and somebody's puffing away in a doorway, and you basically get a big gob of it as you're walking by.
Yeah,
because I'm a mouth breather.
It's awful.
So you walk away, you're like, you're like literally just inhale 20 bents in it walking down.
I know, and I think because you never smoked, sure you didn't.
No, never. So it's about
do you smoke
smokers? Because I love that you get the good goss with the smokers.
You do, And me and Vogue smoked a bit on tour, and again, I blame Vogue for that. Because I had completely stopped, and then you know we were kind of like the adrenaline's pumping before the show, so she'd be having a cigarette, and then I've no independent thinking.
Yeah.
So if she's doing it, I'll do it. You know what I mean? Like you're lucky I didn't start going into drag. Like I looked at you for long enough.
I don't know. I've seen some of these jumpsuits. Let's be real. It's not too far.
There was a few times when we were on the tour where people were like, "Oh, and you keeping Joanne up," and I'm like, "Sorry."
Yeah.
I'm like, what? I was like,
"I know."
Like
I met my match. Literally. I met my match. Yeah. I remember once because I was like, "Oh, I really met my match in Davina because Davina stay up and I'll stay up, and she loves having." Drink and I love having a drink and we're talking shit and all that jazz. And then I remember one night I was really unsettled by it because Davina was like, "I'm gonna hit the and I was like, "What? Oh my god, just me now. I'm the worst of everyone."
I was like, 20 more minutes. I was like, "Okay, 20 minutes."
Yeah,
and
one more drink.
I was like, "Yeah, no, I have to go." And she's like, just 10 more minutes. So I was like, "Okay." So, and then I was like, I could see the sun coming through the fucking window. I was like, "I have to go."
I was like, "No, because if you call it, then it's just me. And it means that I'm the worst."
Oh, we'll be forever connected to that because I love that. I think we had soul sister moments for sure.
Love that.
But yeah, come here. Listen, I won't keep you any longer. Thanks so much for coming on. And
oh, no worries.
Ages in the making. And I can't wait to see you again soon in real life.
Gaff cleaned straight away.
Yeah.
Listen, thanks, Joanne. You're a star.
The team are coming in. Love you guys. Bye.
Thank you.
See you later.
Okay, and we are back. And of course, I've been away. I've been revitalized. I don't feel as I'm rotted, but I still have some things to say. So let's get into our favorite time of the week. Rotter of the week.
Here we are. Beautiful.
Yeah, we've landed. Joe on holidays, my friends kept singing Rotter of the Week. the girls, Mizzet and Sophia, created an ick list that they're making for themselves.
Okay.
And they just kept adding things to it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a good laugh because there was a lot of icks on holiday, as you can imagine. A lot of icks.
Love.
And then we kept saying, write that down, write that down. So they have this, they've compiled their own ick list, yeah, which is quite fun. Yeah. And it's really like some really funny things on it.
Actually, on Patreon, let's talk about your AI moments as well. Yes. That's fun.
Very good.
They made me fucking hell.
So we're going to go into Rotter word. So what is your Rotter word?
So it's actually the pronunciation. It fucking rots me here, because okay, I say Ireland. Like, it's quite a simple one. Like, people say Ireland, Ireland, Island. Like, and the way the Brits say it really grinds my goat the okay most. Now, I know we've a lot of British people who listen. A shout out, like, Nicole.
Island, Island.
That's Island. That's how it is.
Going to Ireland.
That's how it is. It's very, like, Ekansu would say, yeah, it like that. The Love Islanders would say it
going
like that.
Going over to Ireland for a few days. Ireland.
You fucking nailed it.
It's it, isn't it?
Like, I wrote down how I thought it phonetically was sounding, but actually, it's how you said it.
It's actually like Ireland.
It's some way, it's like nails on a chalkboard for me.
Yeah. That's fair enough. And it's pedantic, but it's there.
Yeah, go on, what's yours?
Mine is slightly two words, but it's kind of like, it's people who say, my friend.
Oh, yes.
Hello, my friend.
Yes.
Hi, my friend. Mm-hmm. We're not friends.
No.
We're not friends.
No.
Yes, my friend.
Yeah.
Hello, my friend. Come in, my friend.
Yes.
We're not friends.
Yeah.
And it gives me the vibe that I'm going to be human trafficked at any moment.
Well, I mean, I think it goes not even that. It's like someone that calls you pal, someone that calls you mate. So like, if you don't know
it
me,
kind of makes you feel like that they think that you're stupid.
Yeah.
It's very like, I just feel like, don't come at me, sis.
They're trying to warm you up a bit. Because they're like,
yeah.
What do they want?
Yeah, they want something.
Do you know what I mean?
They'll probably get it. They keep saying it.
I love that.
Oh, are we friends now? How close? Pen friends?
Okay, into the Rotters. My first Rotter is a Revolut alert that comes through.
Give me your ID. ID.
Well, that was yesterday.
Okay.
A Revolut alert, because they're constant at the moment, but it's not money related. So you go in and go, oh, who sent me money? Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. Or like, you know, maybe somebody pay their invoice or something like that. No, no. It is, would you like a credit card? Can I get your tax ID?
Yeah.
Could you confirm this? Constant.
Yeah.
Constant. Like, I'd say I'm with Bank of Ireland. I probably hear from them once, like four times a year, max.
Oh.
Revolut and me are in a very intimate relationship at this point with the mental alerts they're sending me that are not about, you know, somebody saying 50 quid.
About this? Who's Reggie? Who's Revy?
So yeah, Revolut is on my hit list this week.
Okay, very good. My first Rotter of the week is actually, and please don't take offense to this, Queens, because I know there's people that we listen to.
I love this already.
But
what is it?
It's easily fixable, but it just drives me fucking nuts. It's like queens that wear corsets and bodysuits and things like that that don't have tits.
Yeah.
That actually just, the top moves around so much. The body is dislocated from the top. There's no padding and there's just nipples all the time.
Yeah.
I so want to see your nipples. You can easily pad that down, strap it down so it's tight so it doesn't budge. Mm. If your body is moving separately to your corset piece, I don't want to see your hairy nipples.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it. And the nipples are like higher than the top. It's like, it clearly doesn't fit you. Mm-hmm. So just fucking fix it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like, it's easily done. Just like, and I love that shape. I think that V-shaped titty thing is fab. Mm-hmm. There's a queen we saw in Spain and she was giving it loads and she was moving her chest back and forth. And I was like, her nipples were literally like, it was like peekaboo, peekaboo outside. And I'm just like, nobody needs to see that. And she had hairy nipples. I'm just like, shave, if you're going to do it, at least shave your nipples.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah.
I'm waiting on that. I feel like, well, if you're putting on a corset, it's to create shape.
Yeah.
And if you're
if it's totally independent from your body, I'm just like, I just don't get it.
Yeah.
It just looks weird. Like if you're standing static, it's actually fine. But if you're trying to do any kind of performance and your body is swinging out and this corset is still static, it just drives me fucking nuts. Because you can easily like either stick it down, bit of tape, just stick it down so it actually looks like it's formed to your body.
Yeah.
Just very, very annoying.
Yeah. I just think when you're going
Isn't this kind of weird? I'm a man.
Is that what it is?
Is that what it is? I don't know.
They just want to be like,
I don't know. Like I'm, you know, it's the illusion. I'm a man. I'm just like, maybe, but that's okay with, if it is. But it's like, I just find it very irritating to watch.
When queens are trying to create like a body in general, because it's kind of fucking hard to figure out your body. it's very easy for it to actually almost go against what you're trying to do. Do you know what I mean? And there's lots of queens who I think are going against what they're trying to do.
Just tape it down. Because actually, like, because if it's taped even at the top, it will still give you the illusion that there's something there, and it won't move from your body.
Yeah.
Whereas opposed to if it's just swinging out and your hairy nipples are coming out and catching, you know, the hair's being caught at the side of the corset, not really cute.
No. Do you ever do boobless looks?
No.
Never.
No. Like I would do, I would do a boobless, but I would have a bra, so it still gives it a shape.
Okay, gotcha.
I don't really do like a shoulderless kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And if I was going to do it, because I was looking at stuff online actually last night, I would do like a strapless bra, or I would do something that is, but that's just from me, from my body.
Yeah.
That's just personal. And I do actually like that look, like that kind of fashion tit, as we say.
Yes.
I like that on people, but it's when the nipples are just there, it's like actually, they just... Cover the nip or wear a nipple cover.
Very good. Okay. My next one is just these fucking personal trainer lies. So the personal trainer adds wanted 10 unfit men to start working with immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Can only fit 10 people.
This is on my page.
Probably. Can only fit 10 people. Well, hold on now. Let's be real here. How many of y'all are really only taking these 10 people? You're trying to create this rush atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's very me when I say there's 5 tickets left. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, nobody's buying this.
Yeah.
So they're going away.
That's their business though.
And I know, and I get it. But there's just, it's something so aggressive. Mm. 10 unfit men. Give me them now. Well, there's a lot around.
There's no shortage of them, is there? Let's be real. And you get them unemployed if you like as well.
I do find personal trainer ads a little bit of a trigger in general. Sometimes they just don't always come from a good place.
And it's also kind of like, I think to do with personal training and training and working out, it's a very psychological thing for a lot of people. A lot of people struggle with that.
Yeah.
And I think to be like, you know, you're unfit. Mm-hmm. You need this. It's like actually, like everyone needs that in their own time.
Totally.
They don't need to be screamed at to be like, oh, you're overweight, you're unfit. I think it needs to be a little softly. But at the same time, I don't think that's going to make people want to sign up.
No, I don't think so either. Like Jack, who listens to this podcast, who I think is a personal trainer, or maybe it's like working with in like different ways. You know, Jack Fitzgerald.
Yeah, yeah.
He seems to be very honest about what he's going to do for people. Yeah. In a way, whereas a lot of these are promising the earth moons and stars.
I think as well when it comes to weight loss and getting fit and stuff like that, you have to be realistic within your own body and within your own goals.
Yeah.
I don't think it's if you've never worked out and you don't go to the gym and you don't do anything like that, and then all of a sudden you start, I think you need to be very kind with yourself. I think you need to be easy and ease yourself into it. Like, it's not realistic. You're not going to have, like, if you go full throttle, you will get great results in like 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
You'll get really visible results, but it's really hard work. Mm-hmm. People don't, it's tough. And we all go through it. Like,
I love hearing your home truths to say if you're working out with someone at the time, like, and they try and make you do something that you're like, no, that doesn't work for me.
No, I'm like, no, I'm not doing that.
I very much enjoy that.
Like, because I've done so many kind of different like workout like times in my life, and I know what really does work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know how, like, you go through different phases where it's like, I've been so laser focused before where I've been like, I'm gonna get like to the shape or whatever, whereas now I don't feel it. It's not life or death for me now.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, no, I'm not doing that. I don't feel like doing legs today. Because every day is leg day in my world. My second rotter is...
Lucky with a cracking pair of tits. Spell Davina with an eye and she'll give you the shits.
Literally, amen to that.
Go on.
Hotels pretending that they're 4 stars when they're actually 3.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I was nearly going around with a marker and going like, and we're going to just scratch off one of those stars because... Yeah.
Hotel Inspector Divine.
Yeah, because I'm like, and I watch a lot of Hotel Inspector, and it's like, you know, when you're away, and I was looking, we went to a few glam hotels around, there's like one kind of 5-star down on the beach, and I was looking at like, why is their rating in Spain is different to our ratings here? And the level of service that you get is maybe it's a cultural thing. I don't know. It's like, it's very, like, very slow.
It's not interesting though, because I know exactly what you mean. There's loads of like 4-star hotels that I've stayed in that are like outside of Ireland. And I'm like,
really? It's happened everywhere. I've just mean hotel ratings in general.
Yeah.
Like if I'm going to go somewhere and I'm going to pay the extra, I expect that little bit extra for the money. I'm not expecting the sun, moon, stars. I'm actually very kind of easygoing in that respect.
Mm.
But it's like when you kind of go, actually, this doesn't feel
where's my happy ending?
Yeah. Mm. Also, I have to say, this is just a little bit of tea. So I've said, had my own room. And it was a lovely room, totally. Yeah. Like lovely hotel. But one of the mornings I was in bed and I could hear, I just heard like a little moan. I was like, what the hell is this? So then it got louder and I was like, oh my God, somebody's having full blown sex, right? Now, full blown sex.
I know.
But it was like, I actually kind of like woke me from my slumber. Literally, I mean, I was like, am I imagining this? I was like, no. It was like they were having sex in the room with me. It's like, you know, like when a psychic medium would get like hear voices. I knew exactly what position they were doing.
Oh my God.
I knew what was going on. It was a man and a woman. And he was obviously giving her head because I could hear every fucking, I could hear them talk. I was like, oh my God. I was like, this can't be happening. Yeah. I was like, actually, like I was literally only after opening my eyes and she was going hell for leather. She was coming close to the edge. So she came. I was like, oh, thank God she's coming. I was like, I can really like, so I'm like, no. Then he starts riding her. I was like, this cannot be happening. I'm like, oh my God. And I swear to God, the walls were like paper. I was like, Jesus. I've never had, it was like really early in the morning. There was nowhere I could go. I was like, this is actually fucking nuts. So I kept opening and banging things to make them know I can hear.
Yeah.
No, I was like, put on my iPad. I was like, got my headphones. I could still hear through the head.
Oh my God, that must be so fucking loud.
So loud. And then I was thinking, Jesus, like the housekeeping's clean and she's outside cleaning the things. She must hear it was so loud. Yeah,
fucking gross.
Yeah.
I was away at my mom at New Year's Eve. And the first night that we were away, we were only away two nights. She said there was a couple next to her and they were like going 90 for ages.
Oh God. Like, fair play to them. All of them doing it, but I'm just like, oh God, I just don't want to hear it.
Well, I just didn't want to hear that from my mom either. Oh. Thinking that
she was just saying that because the bitch was her. And she just said, she was like, oh, was like,
did anyone hear that last night?
It was a couple extraordinary. That's no wonder Oz is after having an operation to pull his hip out.
Oh, you need to say that to my mom. She will fucking.
I say, oh, I heard all about you, Tish. Down in Glasson.
I love this.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Right. Anyway, we're going to wrap this up. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a brand new episode. And if you haven't left us a rating, go leave us a rating.
Yeah.
5-star divas only, wherever it is. But until next time.
Stay petty.
Wow.
Kisses.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.